excited to dive into this new series, You Asked For It. So for the next numerous Sundays, we're going to be answering questions that you are literally asking. Over the last month or so, we've been collecting questions that you guys have been submitting. We're still receiving those. If you guys submit them through the link on the weekly email and all of that. But y'all are submitting some really good questions. And it's interesting to see what's on your mind and what you want to hear. And so we're going to get to as many of these questions as we can in this series. But if we don't answer your question in this series, stick around, because these questions you guys have submitted is going to inform how we structure the rest of the series for the rest of the year. But I want to encourage you, there's so many different ways to access information and truth, and we live in the information age where we can really quickly Google something or ask Siri for something or go on Pinterest or social media to find the answers to our questions. But in this series, every Sunday morning, we're going to the Word of God to answer these questions. The Word of God is our source of truth. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Scripture says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. And so I hope in this series, as we tackle some hard, important questions, that our foundation, our reliance, our trust on the Word of God is strengthened. So that's our filter as we go through this series. And the first question we're addressing this morning might sound silly and funny at first, as it did to me as well. But I hope by the end of this morning, you realize, wow, that's actually a really important question. And I'm so glad that the Bible clarifies this one for us. And so the topic for this morning is dinosaurs and the Bible. And yes, we are talking about dinosaurs in the Bible in church this morning. And if you want to know whose idea that was, you can look at the man in the front row. If he was speaking, it would have been a 29-second clip with a roar and everything. And I'm like, hun, I can't do that. Like, give me 5 seconds and I'll try to be normal. But this was actually, a lot of questions came in about dinosaurs. Questions like, how does the Bible explain dinosaurs? Or if the earth is so many billions of years old, then how does the dinosaurs fit into the Bible? Another question, what is God's stance on evolution and the dinosaurs? And these are actually really important, critical questions, because if you Google how old is the earth, it says something like 4.5 something billion years. And those of us who have read a book or watched a movie about dinosaurs, I'm wondering if maybe some of these questions came up because Jurassic World is coming out this summer. This weekend, we watched two of the previous Jurassic movies as a family, and we all know when the topic of dinosaurs is being talked about, it starts off by saying millions of years ago, right? So how does that fit into our theology? Because if we take the Bible literally, based on the genealogy of Adam and Eve all the way through today, the Bible tells us that the earth is 6,000 years old. That's a huge discrepancy, 4.5 billion versus 6,000. They're not even in the same, planet system, orbit. So different. So what do we do with that information? That's what we're going to tackle this morning. So let's pray about it, and then we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you that you are the creator of the universe. And Lord, we thank you that your word is eternal, that even though heaven and earth will pass away, your word remains. And God, we thank you that we can build our life on your word, and we can find the answer to all of the important questions of life in your word. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We ask that you enlighten our heart, answer our questions, give us a firm foundation to stand on. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to go to scripture here in just a minute, but before we dive in, I want to just make sure we all understand the different belief systems out there. So I'm going to share three of the most common mainstream belief systems on the age of the earth and dinosaurs and all of that. So the first one is, of course, the old earth and evolution theory. This is, if you Google, this is what's going to come up. This is what's being taught in the public schools. This is what a non-Christian believes about how everything came about. Old Earth evolution theory believes that the Earth is millions or billions. It depends on what site you land on. Some say 5 point something billion, others say millions. It's somewhere around millions or billions, which is a huge discrepancy in and of itself. But old Earth evolution believes that dinosaurs lived 245 through 66 million years ago. That Earth was formed due to a Big Bang. And evolutionists will agree that they don't know what was before the Big Bang, but that the Big Bang is what started what we know to be now. Old Earth evolutionists believe that humans exist due to evolution, which took millions of years for us to come from particles or a rock, you know, that over time we evolved. Old Earth evolution theory believed that humans and dinosaurs did not live on Earth at the same time. That Homo sapiens, humans, didn't come on the Earth until 300,000 years ago. Okay, y'all, we're in church this morning, so I'm going to just speak it plain. Go back to that slide. I personally believe it takes a lot more faith to believe this than what we see in Scripture, that we've got a loving creator that created us. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but just on the front end, I want to acknowledge, like, where does all of this come from? A lot of it comes from how they're dating rocks and land, layers of landform, which can be scientifically proven that if there was a great worldwide flood, which every civilization documents, that the pressure from a worldwide flood would totally affect the carbon dating and everything that they're making these claims on. But even beyond that, just a couple of scientific things for people that are like, but this is what I learned, and you just, you know, tell me, why isn't this true? A couple other things to consider. Rate of population. So if you just take the rate of population over years, evolutionists believe that humans have been around for 300,000 years. Well, that rate of population is ridiculous. Like, there wouldn't be enough places on Earth for people to stand. But if you just went back, if you said, okay, humans have been around for 50,000 years, based on the rate of population, that would mean today's population would be 10 to the 99th power, which is greater than the number of atoms in the universe. So scientifically, that just doesn't make sense. Also, recently, there have not only been dinosaur fossil bone findings, but there has actually been dinosaur soft tissue findings, which scientists unanimously agree that biological matter cannot last more than 1,000 years. And then also, there's the recession of the moon. Scientifically, it's proven that every year the moon moves a little bit further away from Earth. And so if you track back the recession billions of years, like, the moon would be colliding with Earth, like they'd be touching for the first numerous millions of years, which doesn't make sense. And like I said, the flood changes everything of this carbon dating and the measurement and the ages of rocks. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. For the rest of the time, we're going to primarily focus on what the Bible says. But regardless of all of that, if you Google today, how old is the Earth? Google will tell you 5.53 billion years old. And again, if you watch Jurassic World or the reruns of Jurassic Park, it's going to say millions of years ago these animals lived. But as we'll find in a little bit here, there's small amounts of scientific and for sure zero biblical proof that is even possible. And so it's important this morning, if you don't walk away with anything this morning, I think it's super crucial that we understand, you know, we Google and we ask Siri everything about everything, right? But I think it's really important that we recognize Google is not our source of truth. And our life is not built on the word of Google or the word of Siri. Our life needs to be built on the word of God. And so that's why a series like this, a topic like this, is actually super important, because there's a big variation between what Google is saying and what the Bible is saying on this topic and on many other topics. So what's the Christian worldview of dinosaurs? There's two mainstream beliefs on the age of the earth in dinosaurs for Bible believers. The first is known as the gap theory, or old earth creationism. And so these are Christians that believe the Bible, the literal story of creation, and that the human existence in creation is 6,000 years old. But they believe that there's a gap in Scripture. So Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep." These old earth creationisms, gap theory people, they believe that there's a gap of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. That they believe that, like Scripture tells us, Satan rebelled in heaven and persuaded a third of the angels, and that they got kicked out of heaven and came to earth. Creation or old world gap theory people believe that Satan came to earth before humans were made, and that the reason that the earth was void and formless and darkness was on the face of the earth is because Satan had fallen at that point, and then God restarted with us. And so some of them believe that dinosaurs happened in that gap. And that gap could have been thousands of years, it could have been millions or billions of years, is what these people think. And what else does the slide say? I think that's it. And that, yeah, Genesis 1:3 and beyond is God creating the earth and everything on it as we know it. And so I understand why people believe this. I understand it. I personally think there's too much gaps in the gap theory. I understand why they say it, but I personally think it's too far of an inference to believe that much history happened between two verses. I think it's too far of an inference to believe that God created dinosaurs on a different day than he created all of the other animals. And I personally believe it doesn't match what we know of Satan and what we know of God. It doesn't make sense to me that Satan would come to earth and then God would make his creation on earth after Satan had fallen. It makes more sense to me, and it's more on brand for Satan to get jealous. I think that Satan fell from heaven after Adam and Eve were created, because humans became the apple of God's eye. I believe Satan got jealous, and that he fell after the creation of humans, probably shortly before he deceived Eve and Adam in the garden. So if we get to heaven and I'm wrong and all the gap theorists are right, like, it's awesome. But I think there's too many gaps in the gap theory. So the other belief system that I personally more closely align with is the young earth creationism. Go ahead and show this slide, which says that the Genesis account of creation is a literal 7 days with no gaps. That God did create earth and everything on it, and the dinosaurs were created at the same time as all of the animals and all of the humans on day 6. Young earth creationism believes that the earth is around 6,000 years old, not millions or billions. Some young earth creationists believe that the dinosaurs died in the flood. The majority of them believe that the dinosaurs were on the ark and continued to live after the ark. So we're all tracking. So this is baseline. These are the three camps that we can believe. We're moving forward with the assumption of young earth creationism, a literal translation of the Bible, a literal interpretation of the Bible. So let's go to day 6 in Scripture. Genesis 1, 24 through 25 tells us about the creation of the animals on day 6. And it says this: "Then God said, let earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beasts of the earth." We see God formed animals in three categories. He said there's going to be cattle, there's going to be creeping things, and there's going to be beasts, each according to their kind. And so it was, verse 25, "And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, the cattle of its kind, everything that creeps on earth according to its kind, and God saw that all of it was good." So I think we can assume that like lions and elephants and the big beasts of the earth for sure fall in the beast category. And assuming that dinosaurs were what were created that day too, dinosaurs would fall in the beasts of the earth category that was created on day six. So the next question would be, is there any biblical evidence for specific dinosaur creatures in the Bible? And I think it's important to recognize that this word that's so common nowadays, dinosaur, is a really new word. Dinosaur became a word in 1842 when fossils started to be formed. The New Testament was written 2,000 years before that. So no, we're not going to find the word dinosaur anywhere in Scripture because that word was formed 2,000 years after the Bible was written, okay? The New Testament was written. But we do see references of Bible creature or dinosaur creatures in Scripture. And we see it in the book of Job, which is one of the oldest books of the Bible. So the first thought this morning is that dinosaurs did live in the time of Job. So Job lived about the same time as Abraham, which was around 2000 BC, which is 4,000 years ago. And the book of Job is the oldest, it's between Genesis and the book of Job of which book was written first, which book is the oldest. So it's old book, 4,000 years ago, right? And so in the book of Job, a lot of the book of Job is Job and his friend talking back and forth. But then at the end, it becomes a conversation between God and Job. And God is telling Job, reminding Job how powerful and how strong and how far beyond Job God is. And to do that, God talks about different big animals to tell Job, I am so much bigger and greater and stronger than you. Consider this big animal on earth. And so the first big animal that is mentioned and is in Job 40, verse 15 through 24. And this is God speaking to Job. And he says this. He says, look now at behemoth, which I made along with you, God is saying to Job. He, this animal, eats grass like an ox. See now his strength is in his hips and his power is in his stomach muscles. And he moves his tail like a cedar tree. His sinews of his thigh are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze. His ribs like bars of iron. And he is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him, God is saying, only I can bring near his sword. Only I can kill him. Surely the mountains yield food for him and all of the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus trees in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident, though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. Okay, so behemoth, we don't know an animal like that. What animal is this talking about? Go ahead and show the next slide. Before fossils were found, a lot of Bible scholars thought maybe this is talking about a hippo. Or maybe this is talking about an elephant, which there's a lot of parallels with these animals except for the tail like a cedar. The hippo and the elephant do not have tails like a cedar tree, okay? So recently, since dinosaur fossil discoveries, recently Bible scholars most unanimously agreed this scripture is referring to some type of dinosaur creature, maybe the one that you see on the screen. But really, as I'm studying this, I'm like, none of these animals really perfectly match the description. And so I went to ChatGPT, and my daughter told me that I say it like an old person. I say ChatGPT, but you're supposed to say ChatGPT. So I put it into ChatGPT, and I copied the scripture, and I said, you know, give me an image of this scripture, and it gave this image. I'm going to show the next slide. I thought that more looks like what this scripture is describing, some mix of like a T-Rex, an ox, and a brontosaurus. Okay, isn't that cool? Crazy. So it's most modern Bible scholars agree, behemoth is definitely referring to some kind of dinosaur animal like this. The scripture that says he's the first of the ways of God is referring to this animal being the very top of the food chain. This animal is so ginormous that no human can kill him. Only God can get him with the sword, right? His tail like a cedar, his strength in his hips. He's not disturbed by the gushing river. So here we have an Old Testament example of an animal 4,000 years ago that is a dinosaur-like creature that lived at the same time as humans. This was an animal that Job was familiar with. God said, consider behemoth. I'm so much more powerful than him, okay? Then the next chapter in Job talks about another ginormous animal that lived at the time of Job. And this one is very interesting. Job 41, I'm going to skip around, and I might skip over a couple of the verses because it's really long, so I'll tell you when I do that. So Job 41, starting in verse 1, it says, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line? Again, this is God talking to Job, which you lower. Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me, God says? Who can open the doors of his face, this Leviathan? With his terrible teeth all around, his rows of scales are his pride. They're so tightly shut as with a seal. One is so near to the other, talking about the scales that no air can come between them. You can't get a sword through them. They are so joined one to another, they stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth goes burning light, sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot, and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out from his nose. Strength dwells in his neck. Sorrow dances before him. Verse 23, the folds of his flesh are joined together and firm. And then can we skip down to verse 30? It just keeps going on and on, but it's a couple of these verses aren't helpful. So verse 30, it goes on to say, his undersides are like sharp pot shears. He spreads pointed marks in the myrrh. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. On earth, there is nothing like him, which is made without fear. Okay, so this animal is on earth. This isn't a mystical creature. This is an animal on earth. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. Okay, we do not have an animal like this currently on earth. At the time of Job, this animal was on earth. What does it sound like? Yeah, wild, right? So I asked ChatGPT, go ahead and show this slide. So it's like a dragon, fire-breathing dinosaur creature. Are y'all like, this is hilarious? It's like a little hilarious because we read dragon books and we've been trained, we've been conditioned to believe that this is a mythical creature and that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. But the Bible is telling us that these creatures were on earth at the time of Job 4,000 years ago. Okay? You guys tracking? Okay. Okay, so what about the ark? I kind of already mentioned this, but what does scripture say about the ark? So there's common agreement that Job, who saw all of these animals, lived at the time of Abraham, which is after the flood, after Noah. And we have scripture says that every living thing came on the boat. And it's a great understanding that Noah, during the time of flood, so point two, did I say point two? Dinosaurs on the ark. Dinosaurs on the ark. And so there's an understanding that Noah did not take large, full-grown animals on the ark. He didn't take full-grown elephants. He didn't take full-grown lions. There wouldn't be room for all the full-grown animals on the ark. He brought the child teenage ones so that they'd fit on the ark and so they'd have a long life to procreate after the flood. And so, yes, there were small child teenage dinosaurs on the ark. We see in Genesis 7:13 through 16, on that day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of the three sons, entered the ark, and they had with them every wild animal. That would include dinosaurs. And here's the deal on this. Some of you are like, this is just wild. How do animals go into an ark? Like, every major civilization on earth has some kind of story of a flood and some kind of story of a man who built a boat. It's the word of God. It's an accurate recalling of history. So Noah had every wild animal according to its kind. So animals, we know that Job saw dinosaurs. Job lived after Noah. And so dinosaurs were on the boat. Every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kind, every creature that moves on the ground according to its kind. Verse 15, pairs of all creatures that had breath in them came to Noah and entered the ark. Verse 16, the animals going were in male and female of, say it with me, every living thing, as God had commanded Noah, and then shut them in. So the gap theorists that believe that the dinosaurs died in the flood, that contradicts the scripture. God would have told us every animal except the dinosaurs, but he didn't. Every creature that was alive, every kind of creature that was alive, the pair, male and female, got put in the boat. And so dinosaurs were alive after the ark. That means they were in the ark. A couple of interesting things to note about this is that we know that the life expectancy of humans significantly decreased after the flood. So before the flood, like Adam and Noah lived 900 years. That's wild. They lived, what's 900 divided by 6,000? They lived 1/6 of the history of the earth. They were on the earth. But then after the flood, Noah lived 600 years. Then Job lived 200 years. Abraham lived 175. And now today, Psalm 90 tells us that we can live for 70 and 80 if we're healthy, if we're strong. And so the life expectancy of humans significantly decreased after the flood, like 9 times less what it was before. A lot of Bible scholars believe it's because of the atmosphere changed because of the water from the deep and the water from the sky. It changed the atmosphere and the life expectancy of humans, which you could assume would affect the life expectancy of animals as well. And so just interesting to note, just something for your side pocket, reptiles never stop growing. And a dinosaur is a type of reptile. And so could it be that before the flood, dinosaurs got ginormous because they didn't stop growing and they lived a lot longer than they did after the flood? Could it be that post-flood dinosaurs were smaller? It could be. We'll find out in heaven. Okay, so you might be asking, are there any other dinosaur scriptures, or is it just these two in Job? Again, the word dinosaur is not in scripture, but there's a word in scripture, a Hebrew, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. There's a Hebrew word in scripture that has been used 27 times that refers to, that is translated dragon or serpent. And that is all throughout the Old Testament. So the third thought this morning is, are we talking dragons or dinosaurs, or are they the same thing? So this Hebrew word is tannin. Go and show this next slide. And it's translated dragon or serpent throughout scripture. It's used 27 times. Most of the time it's translated as dragon, a couple times as serpent, and like 2 times as a sea monster or as a large whale. The definition of a tannin is a dragon or a dinosaur, a sea or a river monster, a serpent or a venomous snake. And so this animal is mentioned 27 times in the Old Testament, which is the first 4,000 years of the earth. And so sometimes, you can take that away, yeah. Sometimes when this word is used, it is referring metaphorically to Satan being like a dragon. Just like other animals in scripture, like some animals in scripture, like lions and foxes and lambs, sometimes when that word is used, it's referring to an actual lion, or it's referring to an actual lamb or an actual fox. But then there's other times that that animal is used metaphorically, right? Same is true with this word dragon. Sometimes it's referring to an actual dragon that lived on earth, like the Leviathan, and other times it's used more metaphorically. So here are a couple times that I believe it's being used literally, like a dragon literally living on earth. Psalm 91:13, thou shalt tread on the lion and the adder, which is a snake, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Psalm 148:7, praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons in all deeps. Praise the Lord from the earth, dragons being on the earth. Micah 1:8, Micah says, therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make wailing like the dragons. Micah knew what a wailing dragon sounded like. And mourning as the owls. Isaiah 13:22, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry. Is that referring to dinosaurs? What are the wild beasts on the island that cry in their desolate houses? And the dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come. Her days shall not be prolonged. So in our modern culture, dragons are so mythological. And like, what's the one that... Pete's Dragon, but the other one. How to Train a Dragon. Eli went through this phase of How to Train a Dragon, and like, it was the cutest thing ever. But there, dragons, it's like funny that we're even talking about dragons in church, because culture has made them so mythological and fairy tale-ish. But we have scriptural evidence that dragon and dinosaur-like creatures used to live on the earth. And so if we were anthropologists, we would be like, is there any other proof of previous cultural civilizations that show these creatures living at the same time as humans and not millions of years ago? Yes, there is. Let me show you a couple. There's so many artifacts to prove this. I'm going to show you guys just a couple. So we have in Babylon in 575 BC, so like 600 years before Jesus, we have in Babylon multiple drawings of these dragon-like images that you see on the screen. Then in India, in 1450 BC, so 1500 years before Christ, we see this image of this warrior killing this dragon-type creature. And this type of image of a warrior killing some kind of dragon-like creature is in every civilization. Every major civilization on every continent, all of these civilizations that didn't know each other, they didn't have the internet or social media, but they all have these images of warriors killing dragon-like creatures. And then in Peru, on the other side of the world, 100 BC, 100 years before Christ, we've got this rock carving of this dinosaur creature at the same time as humans. Go to the next slide. In the Egypt area, there's this Nile mosaic from 100 years before Christ, where we see this image of warriors attacking this T-Rex type creature. Then 380, so 300 years after Christ, we see this image of a dinosaur being hunted also, this dinosaur-like creature being hunted also. Okay, so the old earth, like evolution people say that dinosaurs and humans didn't live at the same time, and that dinosaurs lived millions of years before humans. But yet scripture is telling us something differently, and even artifacts of civilizations from thousands of years ago. So what do we do with this? Why does this even matter? Some of you might be still asking then, where did the dinosaurs go? What happened? We don't know exactly. A couple of logical conclusions could be, number one, as population grew and civilization grew, their habitat evaporated. And we've got all of these artifacts of dragon, dinosaur-like creatures being hunted. Like black bears don't live here anymore because humans live here now. And so you have to get rid of predatory animals to live safely. Could it be that with the expansion of population, these type of animals were hunted, as we see artifact pictures in every civilization, so that their people could live peacefully. Could it be that after the flood, the environment wasn't as suitable for these kind of creatures, and eventually they became extinct? Could it be a little bit of both? I think so. So as we close, why does this matter? Again, the main point this morning is we can take God at his word. Just because we Google something doesn't mean we build our life on it. When we have a question, we have to go first to Scripture and say, does Scripture say anything about this topic? And if Google and Scripture are saying something different, we go with Scripture every single time. There's always going to be cultural trends. There's always going to be new scientific discoveries that are wanting to pull our heart away from God and his word. But the word of God is a steady foundation that we can build our life on. The word of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God shall never pass away. This morning, I want to remind us in Psalm 33, 4, it says, the word of the Lord is right, and all of his work is done in truth. Psalm 119, 160, the entirety of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So how old is the earth? What does the Bible say? 6,000 years. When did dinosaurs live? When were dinosaurs created? On day 6 with all of the other animals. How did I come to be? You had a loving creator that knit you together in your mother's womb and had all the days of your life written before you yet lived one. You were made on purpose for a purpose. You really are lovingly made. You are not some coincidence of evolutionary process over millions of years. You actually are deeply loved with a deeply in-knit purpose and a creator that loves you intensely.